to The Silva Lining, brought to you by the Silva Feria Funeral Home, right here on 1480 WSAR. To join the conversation, call 508-673-1480.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Silva Lining. I'm your host, Amy Silva Rigtrup, Funeral Director at Silva Faria Funeral Homes, with locations in Fall River and in Somerset. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation today, our number here at WSAR is 508-673-1480, and as always, I'd love to hear from you. Usually every week, I like to start off with kind of a long-winded introduction as to why I'm going to talk about whatever I happen to want to talk about each week. And the show this week was really inspired by an article that I read in the Herald News, and I'm kind of just going to read it for you and let it speak for itself as to why I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. So I'm going to read this article for you that was in the Herald, and it was written by Mark Monroe Dian. And it's called Nelly, We Did Not Want You to Go. There was more life left for you to live, and we wanted so much for our wishes to pour through you like new blood to keep you alive. Death's lie is that nothing counts in the end. Cold skin, deep grave. Death's truth is that nothing counts. Cold skin, deep grave. How can one statement be a lie and the truth at the same time? We don't answer questions like that in America today. We like everything to be one thing or another. We like our dividing lines thick and dark. We like our ditches deep. We like our fences high and strong. We like to know the other side is wrong. And we like death. We like war and bombs and a gun on our hip. We like tough talk. Death laughs at us or sneers because nothing counts in the end. Cold skin, deep grave. We are savages gathered around a fire, specks in the universe inventing the first God, scared of the night and the storm and death because nothing counts in the end. Cold skin, deep grave. Janelle Nelly Eaton, 17 years old, held the thoughts of a poor, sometimes despairing, frequently quarrelsome city for some weeks. Much given to loud argument, to dirty rumor, to character assassination, Fall River does not welcome the stranger and is sometimes not kind, even to the native-born. So it was our miracle that this one girl, in dying, held us to a better standard. For a while, nothing lasts forever. Nothing counts in the end. Cold skin, deep grave. If we cannot be better people forever, at least we were better people for a while, because we hoped so much for one young girl who fought for life with the courage we attribute, often falsely, to athletes and celebrities. As advanced as we are technologically, we don't know much about death, only that it robs us. Sometimes death makes us stand closer to each other, if only to hold back the chill. Maybe it doesn't mean much, but a whole city fought with Nellie Eaton, cried with her, hung on every turn of her condition, smiled with her. We could not die with her. She goes alone. She was brightness. She was 17 years of life, warmth, the focus of a city's wishes, rich wine poured out on stony ground. She loved us and we loved her, and she left us, as we knew she would, as we hoped she wouldn't. Maybe we learned something from Nellie. Though humans don't learn easily, and too often we forget the most important lessons we are taught. We are what we always have been. We are frightened people, scared of the dark, but capable of great bravery and heroic love. Nelly, we did not want you to go. We did not want you to go. We did not want you to go. There was more life left for you to live, and we wanted so much for our wishes to pour through you like new blood to keep you alive. You struck a spark in us, gave some of your warmth to a city built of hard granite and cold brick. We won't forget. Cold skin? Deep grave? No. Warm light, deep peace. When I read this article, I couldn't breathe for a second. Chills ran through my body. I felt like there was nothing that could ever be written that could sum up what this community felt for this amazing spirit, this amazing battle, this amazing journey and inspiration that Nellie Eaton was. Not just for the residents locally that knew her, but for the community that followed every step of her courageous battle on Facebook. Everywhere I turned, it seemed, online or driving around the area, was Nellie Strong, was the color yellow. And this article, I commend Mark for writing it, and I will be sharing it on our blog later today. And I'm really honored today to have bravely with me in the studio Nellie's parents, Josh and Laura Eaton. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
That was beautiful, Mark.
Yes, it's poetic and perfect. I don't think anything better could have just captured what everybody has been feeling.
It's crazy because when you called me about this, I had not yet shared it with Josh, but I did read it, and I had emailed Mr. Dion the day before Nellie's wake, and I said, I don't know what to talk about. There's just so much to talk about. What do I talk about in my eulogy? And I asked him permission to read this at, you know, at church, and I never responded back to the email because I wasn't into the email at the time. I wasn't even looking at my phone. And when you called me the other day and asked me, you know, can you come on and I have something to read, and you mentioned this article, I was just like, how you felt. I couldn't breathe after I hung up the phone with you. I just felt, you know, just I could read this over and over again. It just brings me peace.
Yeah.
And it's true. Everything that he said, I mean, Fall River is not as bad as people think it is.
No.
You know, and it did take Nellie's journey to bring a lot of good together and a lot of faith. People lost a lot of faith with God and, you know, their neighbors. They never wanted to help anybody, and they would always turn their backs on them or shy away. And that's not how Nellie wants it, and that's not how the guy above wants it either. So I'm blessed to be here today.
And it's all because of Nellie, because like you said on our conversation, and I thank you so much for talking to me as long as you did, what stuck out with me the most was just the spirituality that you shared that she had,
mm-hmm.
how much that she gave, how much love that she shared,
oh, yeah.
how much peace that she had,
mm-hmm.
and that she gave to everybody around her that yeah. was in pain over what she was going through.
She never worried about herself. She worried about everybody else right to the very end. She was worried about me. I actually had to keep telling her it was okay, you know. Just like she used to tell the little kids up at the hospital, it's okay, I'm here for you, we're going to do this together. You know, right to the very end, I made sure she knew that she was okay and that she was going to be in a more peaceful and better place, and she's going to live within us, and it just made it so much easier for her to accept that and be where she is now. So
it's hard to believe she was 17.
Yeah. Like they said, she's an old soul in a
yeah.
young person's body. She really is. And with it, you know, her situation and it being so rare and no one really knowing about what's going on with her type of cancer, you know, she opened up so much opportunity, just not for me, but, you know, staff of the hospital and other facilities in other states. I mean, every time we would, you know, book it a second opinion, they'd say, oh, that Nellie, we've heard about Nellie. And this was all the way in Philadelphia at one point. They were like, we know about Nellie. We'd love to have Nellie come to our facility and try to see if we can figure out what's going on with her. And so, yeah, she, right to the very end, she that smile that she used to just give. And I don't know what she was dealing with internally. I know I witnessed a lot, and I just, you know, physically didn't understand what she was really dealing with. But, I know she's okay. I do know she's okay. And I'm at peace for that. I've a broken heart, but
yeah.
it'll probably never be fixed. But I know that I can just share her memory and help another family in need. That's what my mission is, and this is what she wants me to do, and this is what my new destiny, me and my husband's new destiny, is to spread awareness and be advocates, you know, for pediatric cancer.
Absolutely. And I think it's, in doing the show, I don't know if you know, but I've been on the air almost every week since January, and there's been a couple of guests that I've had, starting with a woman named Rose Grant, who's local as well, and she had a long battle losing her husband very slowly to Alzheimer's, and talked about moving her grief into action. And I thought that that was a very moving and poignant theme. And what she did was she went on to write a book about what she went through as a caregiver, as a wife, and her journey. Mm-hmm. And it, with Alzheimer's, it's this very specific and just, we called it the long goodbye. I mean, because it's not this like immediate closing of a door. It's every week you're grieving the loss of some loss of not being able to do a certain thing that you could do before. And what she did was she put into this book not only what she went through, but notes to help people reading this book that as they're relating to the things she went through, that she could help people battle these things or handle them better. Mm-hmm. And she's a teacher, so it kind of ended up being like the perfect thing for her to do. And I think meeting you and hearing your calling and your movement, which I think a lot of it is instilled from Nellie, this dynamic of, I mean, you're a young mother battling, I mean, the journey with pediatric cancer, I think it's so much more than just the cancer. It's the journey of, like, figuring out what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And then once you're dealing with it, how to advocate for how you're going to deal with it.
Right.
And then in the midst of this, you have this young person. And how to have them be embraced in the situation or not. I mean, there's so many levels that come into it. And then the gift from her helping you towards the end and helping you be at peace with it all.
That's
and
beautiful.
Worrying about you. I mean, the levels that go into it and the fact that you're sitting here today with inspiration and the strength to want to help other families in that situation. I think you're another example of grief into action and helping other families. And
definitely.
I commend you for that.
Thank you.
And it looks like we're coming to our first break.
Okay.
So anyone that's listening, if you'd like to call in and share any thoughts, love, prayers, or any words with us today, you're welcome to call in at 508-673-1480. And we'll see you after the break.
I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to.
Silva Lining. I'm your host, Amy Silva Rigtrup, funeral director at Silva Faria Funeral Homes and locations in Fall River and in Somerset. And if anyone would like to call in, our call-in number at WSIR is 508-673-1480. And if you're just joining us today, I'm joined in the studio with Josh and Laura Eaton, the parents of Janelle Nellie Kamara Eaton, who passed away on November 21st, 2015. It's definitely an emotional day here in the studio. Nelly inspired and touched so many lives around here, and I'm sure every day you're probably hearing from even more people that she touched and inspired. And I liked hearing, too, that in the hospital you said something about her kind of helping some of the other parents, some of the other patients, I mean, in the hospital.
Yeah, the patients.
That she was in.
Definitely the patients and the parents. I mean, we have a whole new family up at Hasbro.
Yeah.
They're not even from around here, obviously. A lot of them from Rhode Island. And it's like I've known these families forever. I mean, we've lost our children together. We've watched our children get sick together. You know, we've lost, you know, financial with our jobs together. And they're like, I've known them forever. I mean, they're my family. I call them my cancer family because that's who they are. And I might only know some of them for 3 months or a year or 2 years, but we stay connected. I mean,
that's a bond.
It's crazy. I mean, she's
really
just,
forward.
Yeah, she, you know, one memory that, you know, a lot of these cancer moms share with me is that no matter what Nellie went through, especially after surgeries, as a lot of you people might or might not know, you know, Janelle had three major surgeries on her spinal cord. And the doctors had said, you know, she wasn't going to be able to walk after every single surgery she had. And 2 days later, she was up walking around Children's Five in the kids' rooms. And, hey, Rylan, hey, Celia, hey, you know, and just, how you feeling? Are you okay? Do you want me to get in bed with you? And, you know, nurses used to they were in awe, you know. And even to the end, I mean, they came and saw Nellie. They were frightened. You know, I'm sure, you know, some of them didn't even want to go through the doors in her room, but they stood outside the door, some in the hallway, but they wanted to see Nellie.
Totally.
And just the comfort that she gave those children, I mean, and the parents, you know, she was like a big sister, you know. She was probably one of the oldest, you know, teenagers in that clinic at the time when we first started all coming in. There is more now, obviously. There's more children that are teenagers, boys, you know, males and females that are there now, because it's like a revolving door. It's not shy of anybody. It doesn't discriminate. It's every day there's a new face that comes through that door. And, but yeah, I've actually gotten some texts and some calls from people and from the hospital saying it's just feels like it's such a lonely place right now in there, you know. Nellie, as sick as she was, she'd be with a bucket in front of her and be laughing and you know, joking and coloring, and she'd have her bucket in there, you know, and she didn't have no shame. She didn't want to be in a cubby. She wanted to be with the kids. She wanted to, you know, console those kids through their chemo, you know. So she definitely was special when it came to just being comforting. And
yeah, common theme I remember seeing through all, like, the Facebook posts and everything I heard through talking with Adam Auclair and Sue Auclair was about just this larger-than-life personality that she had.
You know, cheerleader.
Before, during, I mean, through everything.
Yeah. She's, not just because she's my daughter, she's just amazing. And, you know, she fought this battle for so long. And I wish I could have, like I was telling you before, Amy, about the alternative treatment. I wish I could have afforded that a long time ago. You know, the community stepped up. They've had tons of fundraisers. We've spent massive amounts of money on these oils that we were treating Nellie with at the end that was, you know, keeping her comfortable and not making her sick and keeping her off the opioid, the pain medication, which she made sure she let those doctors know that she was not going to be on opioid. She was not going to be an addict. And I praise God for that because God was with her. And there was other ways to go about, you know, dealing with the pain, which we managed ourselves. Like I said, I mean, the alternative treatment, this is my new destiny. Hopefully one day I can have it on the ballot, just like, you know, you can make a choice of terminating your life with a pill.
Yeah.
You know, you can put that on the ballot nowadays, but you can't put on the ballot making a choice of how you want to treat this ugly disease. I mean, pediatric cancer is wrapping around the world right now, and it's not just in the United States, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when I was Nellie's age, I didn't hear about cancer like I hear about it today. I heard about the HIV viruses and, you know, those things. Then all of a sudden you didn't hear about that really anymore. It was all about cancer. But pediatric cancer, I mean, 4% of research goes to pediatric cancer. Where's all the other funds go to?
Yeah.
Where is it? I mean, that's my problem with this. Where is it going? It's funding people's pockets, hospitals. It's like, it just drives me crazy because, you know, when it makes me baffled knowing that it's profit over patient nowadays. And it's scientific. I mean, I remember hearing from doctors that were residents that didn't even have their degrees yet that, you know, we go back 100 years ago, Mrs. E, and it's like I looked at him like, we're not 100 years ago. We're now.
The environment's changed over that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to do with environmental poisons.
Yeah.
And the scientific studies that are happening now are just showing environmental
causes.
Not enough research.
Yeah. So it's
we need to know how much pollution we're doing to the earth.
Or what we're putting on our skin or what we're ingesting or what we're vaccinating our children with. I mean,
FDA approves all of that, but they don't approve
I'm ready to get it on a ballot.
Well, it seems like there needs to be a balance. Like, should we focus more on all our money figuring out what's causing it? Or do we need to focus more on treatment?
I think we need to divvy it up a little better.
Those are the two most important pieces to our children's future.
Yep, definitely.
Because some of it goes towards prevention and better treatment.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And we should have a choice. Us as parents, without being threatened by the state because of an age, we need to make a choice to how we want to save our children's lives. I mean,
and it seems like you want to spread awareness and education because even if you could save maybe 10 families from having to say that sentence you just said, I wish I would have known
what I've known today.
Exactly.
What I knew today.
That's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I would have known earlier than I knew.
I wish.
That's our job. We're going to make sure we promote that to as many families as possible throughout the nation and beyond.
Yeah. We're just going to go. And, you know, I know some people know this, some people might not know this, but Nellie did want me to write a book, you know.
Really?
And she named it. She named it Nellie's Journey. I don't know how, you know, if that's what she wants, that's what I need to do. And I just...
The life of Nellie.
Even the life of Nellie. Yeah, my husband says it's, we get these things thrown at us at the last couple of days. Like, Nellie's with us, and she just keeps telling... And we pray. We pray big time in our family right now. I mean, we're holding God. God is the one that's actually made us at peace and got us through this, you know.
Amen.
At the last, you know, the last hours of Nellie crossing over and being with the Lord, you know, we prayed and played her Christian music, and I had to literally lay on her and just keep reading the Book of Psalms to her and letting her know and keep comforting her and letting her know that it was okay. And that she, you know, when she kept saying to me, Mommy, you need to accept this. And she kept saying that to me at the end. And then, you know, at the end, it was like everything just, even though her eyes were already completely shut from the tumors on the brain, she told me everything that I needed to know. And this is where I'm going to go with it. I mean, I never was rich, and I don't want to be rich. That's all about the Illuminati.
Nellie said we were already rich.
We're already rich.
Through her,
that's through her spreading the word.
Community.
And she told me that. She said, Mommy, I know you're not rich, and you're not going to be rich, and you're going to be rich in knowing that you saved another life.
Wow.
Rich-hearted.
Rich-hearted. And she said it. I mean, right to the end, she was vocally talking about it. And that's what gives me peace and gives my husband peace.
She wants us to help all the other children of the world.
Yep, she does. And that's amazing. So I know we're not done.
Yeah.
And I hope one day that, you know, I can witness in the next year to 5 years or even 10 that something changes, because I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I've said it on, you know, on news stations. I've, you know, cancer did not take Nellie. Treatment did. And I watched it happen right before my eyes. It took my daughter's life. And I was told by, you know, really, you know, well-renowned doctors, nonprofit doctors, you know, cancer doctors, that they've told me, you know, this last round of radiation, that was it. You know, it went right to her brain, and there was nothing that anybody could do about it. So please, guys, if you're listening, please consider other options other than this conventional therapy. Please.
Well, we're going to definitely expand on that more, and I want to talk more about how... I'm just amazed with how present Nellie was. I
can feel her in here right now.
Yeah.
Just got to like chill.
Well,
so.
We're gonna talk some more with Josh and Laura when we come back from the break. Please join us.
God bless.
Beautiful.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Oh, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold yourself. But those
out of the woodwork. Welcome to The Silva Lining, brought to you by the Silva Feria Funeral Home, right here on 1480 WSAR. To join the conversation, call 508-673-1480.
Feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Hi, and welcome back to The Silva Lining with your host, Amy Silva Rigtrup, Funeral Director at Silva Faria Funeral Homes, with locations in Fall River and in Somerset. And as always, I'll be posting a summary of today's show and every show that I do here on WSAR 1480 AM. And you can find my blog at www.thesilva.org. And especially with today's show, since the goal, I'm definitely committed in helping Laura and Josh's mission to helping other families find information and someone to talk to in some direction to help combat that feeling of I wish I would have known what other options were out there. I'm going to be posting as much information as we're hearing about today in our discussion and then some. Laura is going to supply me with a lot of links and information that you can find, and I will be posting all of that on the blog hopefully by tomorrow morning. And I'm also going to post a link to the article that I read that was in the Herald, written by Mark Monroe Dian as well. So to continue our conversation, Laura and Josh, I wanted to give you an opportunity to mention some of the more specific alternative remedies that you were talking about that, A, are very hard to get coverage for, obviously, the insurances don't cover for, and alternative remedies that a lot of people listening might not know what exactly you're talking about or what are even available or have helped other families and have helped Nellie towards the end that you said really showed a difference.
Yeah, I was actually, from the beginning of Nellie's journey, we were introduced to the medicinal marijuana, which is an oil. It's a THC and CBD component that is used to fight off cancer cells and make them become necrotic. They also help with epilepsy and people that have eating disorders and addiction problems and all that, and depression, you know. And we started off, you know, in February, actually the end of January, beginning of February, when Nellie started chemo, after they finally gave me a diagnosis that was called Ewing's-like sarcoma. You really don't think it was Ewing's-like sarcoma, but they started on the chemo protocol. It was six chemos that they regimens they were giving her. It made her so, so sick, neutropenic and all. And I got my hands on this THC oil from a donation, a lady that actually was a stage four brain cancer survivor for 10 years that did not do any conventional treatments at all. And she donated to me. She was from Rhode Island. I never got to personally meet her, but I was giving her, Nellie, the oil while she was taking chemo at the hospital. And she was doing well. She was doing well with it. And, you know, that was started at the end of January. April 21st, we had her first scan MRI of her spine. And it showed that the tumor shrunk like 60 to 70%. And I was giving her the oils with the chemotherapy. I only stopped giving her the oils at the end of April because of her being so neutropenic. She was throwing up so much, she couldn't keep the oils down anymore. Soon as I stopped the oils and continued with the chemo, my daughter actually relapsed through chemotherapy. Her tumor, you know, came back. They were blaming it on neuropathy, which is supposedly a side effect from chemotherapy. For about 5 months, they kept telling me, I'm like, you know, she's weak again in the leg. She's fallen. Oh, that's neuropathy. It's a side effect that you get from this treatment. And I said, there's no way. And then I finally had to call, you know, my daughter's neurosurgeon behind their backs and say, you need to come see Nellie. We're on the fifth floor again. You need to come see Nellie. Well, thank God I did, because at the end of May, this happened. They came back and told me that Nellie's tumor on her T4 to T7 had doubled immensely. And she was already on 6 months worth of chemotherapy treatment. And I just knew then that the chemotherapy was metastasizing Nellie's cancer. We actually ended up having, you know, the neurosurgeon said, well, we'll go back in again. We'll try to get that tumor out. And this was on June 2nd. He went in, took some of the tumor out, and from that point forward, they introduced the radiation, which they told me a year and a half ago that Nellie could never do any more radiation, that she maxed out with radiation. Well, they allowed her to do it again at the middle of June. And then she did her, we went on a wish come true, gave her her wish to the Caribbean, and she was wheelchair bound. That's when her becoming paraplegic came about, was the end of July. But the more, you know, radiation I gave her, it was like an atomic bomb. It blasted it to the brain. Oh. You know, in April and May, I was actually taking her to a vitamin C clinic. Dr. Pederuti, he offers vitamin C treatment. Vitamin C is to de-alkalize your body from any toxins that were put in your body, and it helps fight against that. And she was doing amazing. But soon as Nellie stopped walking, we had a hard time getting to Pederuti in Warwick. Yeah. And I noticed as soon as I stopped the vitamin C treatments also it tenfolded. Like, yeah. The vitamin C, as cost-effective as it was costing us about $180 a treatment. We were doing that 3 to 4 times a week. And bringing her, you know, to getting her port access at Hasbro and then going up to that doctor's in Warwick. But at the end, you know, we had a contact from an elder. This man was 71 years old, and he was a reverend. And he was from down south, and he was, you know, actually ministering this THC and CBD product. And I was reading testimonies up from this guy's page of patients that were actually, I don't like to use the word remission because I don't believe in remission, but I like to say the word dormant, that they were dormant with this disease. And I was reading testimony how these people, like, you know, they had stopped doing the conventional treatment and they had relapsed, you know, a couple of times, and they got access to these oils and they were cancer free. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to give this to Nellie. And at the time it was costing us about $5,200 every 2 weeks for these oils. In the last 2.5 months before Nellie passed, it cost us in a total of $19,400, in which the community had benefits for us because we would have never, I mean, me and Josh had to leave our jobs, obviously, and we have two other children, a house, a mortgage, bills, car, you know. I mean, we were normal people. We worked our whole lives. We didn't take nothing for free. We were always the type of family to pay forward. And at the end, you know, you just start networking with people. And this gentleman, this man that I was just explaining to you, the 71-year-old gentleman, he had touched base with us with a man in South Carolina that actually introduced us to a powder. It was called an isolate, a solvent. It was 99.7% CBD. And she was actually drinking it with her. At the time, I had to have her start drinking vitamin C through a drink, like in her water. And we were mixing this powder. And I'll tell you, her pain, like, the doctors couldn't believe it. They kept saying, well, I don't know what you're doing, but just keep doing it, Laura. And I'm like, well, you know what I'm doing, because I'm doing it here. You know what I mean? You guys know what I'm doing. I'm giving Nellie the stuff to help her with her pain management. And they were actually beside themselves. You know, we were also giving her CBD patches and solvents, which she would rub on the inside of her wrist and on the side of her temples. Instead of taking high doses of Ativan and you know, CBD and Ativan, like Ativan was for the anxiety. Instead of giving her the Ativan, we'd give her the CBD, which is cannabinoids. It's cannabidiol. Oh, okay. It comes from the marijuana plant. It's a strain that you do not have any type of euphoria effect from it. You do not feel like you're on a cloud nine, nothing. Mm-hmm. It just basically hits the pain and anxiety. Wow. And to the end of Nellie's last hours, Nellie was taking strictly that. And that's why I believe so much in it, and that's why I know, baby, this is why Nellie is who she is because Nellie needed to open up the doors of this treatment plan. I mean, sarcoma, nobody knows about sarcoma. I mean, why are we not knowing about sarcoma? It's one of the rarest cancers that anybody could possibly get. Mm-hmm. We need to be taught in we need to know where to go and how to receive it. I mean, everywhere I look around now, you have these medical pot facilities opening up. I mean, why are they opening up? There must be something going on. I mean, there has to be a breakthrough.
Yeah.
In my eyes, is like we're feeding trillion-dollar business, pharmaceutical businesses that are getting people addicted to certain things. I mean, I understand we have to control population, but how about, I mean, pediatric children that haven't even had a chance to explore their lives and become somebody, you know? So, you know, I strongly suggest this. I really do. I mean, please, if anybody, you know, anybody has a situation where they're fighting and battling, or they know somebody that is, I mean, I'll be more than happy to, you know, share my information with anybody and let them know. They can contact me. We can sit down and just have through coffee, talk about it. And even if I can direct you guys into, you know, to somebody that can help you, or, you know, with CBD, I got to get back just a little bit too. What we don't get told is that we have CBD, like CB receptors throughout our body, you know, and it kind of makes me feel like, well, you know, we're born by the Lord, you know, we're lended our children. The Lord creates, you know, anything that breathes oxygen. Now we have these receptors in our body. These receptors are being used with these oils to cure something. Like at that point, I mean, you
receptors
get
receptors are made. Receptors,
yeah. And then I learned about that, and I was like, amen, man. I mean, we have CB receptors in our body and through the whole skeletal part of our body. And you know, I tried to explain some people to, you know, at the hospital doctors, and they kind of just look at me like, but this is where I'm at. I mean, there's CBD, CBD, and CBG, and that's what you need to look into. I mean, please, it could save your life.
Well, I think what's coming is a paradigm shift, and I think you guys are on the forefront of it, and I'm definitely with you, and I'll do everything I can to help share your message
and
make you guys accessible to anyone that reaches out to me.
Please, I would love to help.
And we have one more segment coming up, so anyone that has any questions, please listen back and join us after the break.
I should have
been.
You're listening, Silva Lining, brought to you by the Silva Feria Funeral Home.
Did you know my name? If I saw you in heaven, would it be the same? If I saw
Hi, and welcome back to The Silva Lining. I'm your host, Amy Silva Rigtrup, and if you're just joining us, I've been speaking all hour with Josh and Laura Eaton. They are the amazing parents of Janelle Nellie Kamara Eaton that passed away quite recently, November 21st, 2015, after an amazingly courageous battle with pediatric cancer did it start in her spine?
Yeah, well...
Well, they were really trying to figure it out.
It was in her spine. It's not actually her whole life. She's been complaining about back pain, and they used to say it was because she was a cheerleader and a dancer, and she had inflammation until, you know, one morning she woke up at 15 years old on New Year's Day and just couldn't walk. A couple of weeks before that, her athletic trainer at Durfee had said, you know, there's no way you can cheer, Nelly. You got something going on. After the break, you need to go to this, you know, get an MRI done. Well, she never made it to her MRI. And that's when they told us, you know, we went to Hasbro from being rushed from Charlton that morning, and they said it was a paraspinal tumor wrapped around her T4 to T6. And it was actually suppressing her spinal cord, which made her not be able to walk.
And that started it all.
That started her whole journey. But, you know, like I said, I'm thankful. I'm just very thankful that I have the opportunity to speak about Nellie's journey and what we can do and what we need to do to spread awareness and help others that are in need with this disease.
Definitely.
You know, I just want to get back a little bit to the whole THC and CBD and how it's from, you know, from the medicinal plant of marijuana. And I want to just stress this highly.
Highly being the imperative word.
Yes,
this
meaning
is
this
not
this
about
not,
getting high.
No, it's not about getting high. It's not about getting high, people. Okay? I just, like I said before the break, we have receptors throughout our body. And you guys, anybody can Google this and get the truth about what I'm talking about. Because it took me as a mom of somebody that was fighting against this disease to realize and research what's out there.
YouTube, RSO.
You know, you can YouTube Rick Simpson's oil. That's what we were treating Nellie with. You know, there's also something we end up learning about through a woman also. Her name's Neek. She is a two-time breast cancer survivor. She ended up introducing us to something called citicoline. Citicoline is actually a supplement. It's what Alzheimer's patients usually take, and it's a capsule. And you actually take it an hour before you take the THC, which we were given Nellie, and it actually blocks that high effect, that euphoric effect. And you can actually purchase that acetylcholine over the counter at any pharmacy or vitamin company. Oh, yeah. And I also want to stress, too, it's the way we eat. We need to start eating better. Nellie never believed me. She was the type, you know, cheerleader, softball player. It was fast food all the time. Even with my other daughter, we were always on the road traveling to, you know, travel tournaments. And, you know, the last 6 months, we have not ate any fast food at all in our home. And Nellie did not want to listen to me when it came to that until about 4 months ago. And she was begging for organic food. Begging for it. She completely was done with sugars. She didn't want any more sugar. I mean, she knew when she started reading about what this stuff does to your body when you're battling cancer, it opened up her eyes to what she needed to do to take care of herself.
And she preached about
it. And she preached, you know, I don't want nothing in that. I mean, we had our family come over one day in September when this all began, her being paraplegic, and they wiped our house out. I woke up from
the
a nap.
Refrigerator.
And it was completely empty, but all organic food. And you know, organic can get pricey. It can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still trying to shop organic just for the four that are in our house right now, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I also just want to add one more thing in. You know, as everybody knows, we were trying to go to the Brzezinski Clinic in Houston, and there's a lot of controversy, and I've gotten a lot of hate mail actually delivered in my mailbox, not even through the mail, at my house, from anonymous people. And I hope whoever is hearing me, I understand everybody's has an opinion, but until you live what we've lived with Nellie and your life is in front of your face, we have to try to figure out another route instead of poisoning our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We're poisoning our bodies, people, and that's the problem today. Brzezinski offers an antineoplastin, and it is very expensive because, don't forget, he has to pay for all his medications, his supplies, his treatments. He is not getting funded from the FDA. So just remember, I mean, Brzezinski, that's where Nellie wanted to be. 2 days before she passed, she wasn't really there, and she said, "Mommy, we're in Texas." And I said, "We're in Texas, Nellie?" She says, "Yeah, we're at Brzezinski. You can't see?" Like, she really thought at that moment, laying in bed, she was in Texas with Brzezinski. And I believe that was a sign. So please, let's keep that petition going. Let's keep signing for Brzezinski. They're trying to shut him down again, and I really hope that this is a breakthrough, too, for him and for him saving children's lives as well. There's somebody in Dartmouth that actually brought his 5-year-old son to Brzezinski. His son's been in remission for quite a while now, and he actually had to lose his home and business and everything to pay for this protocol, and his son is actually a survivor through Brzezinski. So,
and we actually spoke to the father
ourselves
before,
yeah,
in the past while Nellie was still here with us.
It's amazing how the reach it shows that a lot of what you're talking about and what you've been through and your mission and what Nellie has taught you and what you're learning is getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening quickly, but what you've just said and what Brzezinski's trying to do, and that it's reached another family locally and this is something happening in Texas, I mean, these are all signs that there is a movement coming and awareness is there.
It's called Nellie's Law. I can already see it.
It's coming.
Yep.
It's coming.
I can see it. Nellie's Law, and I hope to God that he provides for that because we need a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. And I think something like Nellie, somebody like Nellie going through this, who touched so many people everywhere that she went. I mean, no, it seems like every single person, every patient, every doctor, everybody that knew her never forgot her and was totally changed by her. That is the kind of person that helps with these movements.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that was maybe her role.
Yeah.
We're
going to
continue the legacy of my daughter forever.
And I hope that, I know that I'm going to help you any way that I can. And
thank
I hope
you,
that
Amy.
Everyone listening
thank
will
you.
Help as well. And I will definitely post ways that people can help on our blog.
And I
want to
thank
Facebook.
Mr. and Mrs. the Auclairs and
absolutely.
Sue and Adam and Mr. Auclair.
Hopefully
and
this is not
Pat
the last
and
time
Jordan
we're on the
and
air.
Tony and
yeah. Sucked up all the time we can.
The Auclairs are amazing.
You guys
and the communities surrounding also.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
The
we
turnout
love
for
with
the
all
procession.
Our
I
oh,
heard,
Somerset. I mean, there's no bridge between Forever and Somerset.
Oh,
there's no
isn't.
Way.
There's no bridge in heaven.
There's no bridge in heaven
no,
either. That's
there
right.
Isn't.
And
there
I just
isn't.
I'm so thankful. And I really wish I could just I need to just do what I can do. And I also, you know, there's a lot. I want to Bob Karam from the Radio Time and just everybody. I'm thankful. I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. And Nellie knows this. Nellie knows that I don't think she really realized how much of a legacy she was. And I know she knows now because she's watching above.
Yeah. And overall, we're thankful for Nellie, for being Nellie.
Absolutely.
Because none of this would be
possible.
Anything without the kind of spirit that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And by what you've said, her spirit and her spirituality and the fact that she was embracing every moment of what she went through made everything possible.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on the Silver Lining. Thank you for listening.